Thanks, shall we? So I'm doing this series, you know, on the Holy Spirit, kind of as a mass counseling for us, and I've done two of them, and we had the tent between the first one and the second one, and this is Labor Day, and I know that a lot of people are traveling and doing stuff on Labor Day, so I decided I wasn't going to do that this week, but I had my problem was I couldn't figure out what should I talk about, because this is one of those Sundays that you needs to stand alone. And that was, I just went around this thing all about 4 or 5 days, and finally I said, well, this is an obstacle. So I thought, well, I'll just talk about removing obstacles, and that solved the problem right there. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today about anybody here. I know this isn't for everybody, but it's bound to be for somebody here today, and who's got obstacles in their lives. And I ask that you would minister to us by your Spirit and speak to each of us concerning those things that come up against us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message is about removing obstacles from our lives, but I need to kind of set the tone. This is a biblical study as well as just a sermon. I would like for us to read together Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, and Joshua 6, 1 and 2. Just run them together, because then I'll break them up. Here we go. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but as commander of the Lord, army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, "What does my Lord bid his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was shut up from within and from without because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given into your hand Jericho with its king and mighty men of valor." Now this just looks like part of a story here for to us, but there are some powerful spiritual truths that are present in just these few verses that we read. Now, these stories in the Old Testament are there to give it as pictures, to give us instruction for our lives and the way that God works in our lives. And so this is one of those stories in terms of things and how God works. And they were put down in the Old Testament by God for us so that we can learn from them about how God works in the world and how the spiritual realm really impacts the physical realm as well. Now let me set these verses in context of history. The people of Israel have just finished 40 years in the wilderness under Moses' leadership. Joshua has taken over for Moses. They've just miraculously crossed the Jordan River as God parted the waters of the river so they could cross, and they are spending a few days as the men heal up from circumcision. They have been circumcised, all the men, and come under God's covenant again as a people because of the 40 years out in the wilderness. Now, they have committed themselves to taking the land and serving the Lord in the world, and specifically in the place that God has given them. They're camped beside the river, which is no longer crossable. They can't go back across it now, and there's this formidable armed stronghold called Jericho out in front of them, and God has given them a miracle to get across the river, but that miracle has disappeared, and there out in front of them is this huge hostile obstacle called Jericho. So after they cross the river, Joshua is out one night, and he's looking around. And you need to put your head kind of around what he was doing. He's probably wondering to himself, or stewing in his own juices, you might say, how in the world am I going to get through this obstacle. He was up against the walls of Jericho, and he doesn't know yet that the walls of Jericho are going to fall down. He's probably wondering how he's going to get out of this newfound leadership role as well, since Moses has disappeared. And he looks up, and there in front of him, between he and Jericho, is this armed man, a warrior. And Joshua took the initiative, and he confronts the man. He says, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And the guy says, "No," which is interesting. There's actually a pretty strong spiritual truth here. Now, all of us are in conflict with people from time to time, are we not? Sometimes we're against somebody. We can be against somebody in a small way or in a large way, but we are in conflict with other people. And since all of us are in conflict with people from time to time, some of us probably right now are in conflict right here in this group, and I'm not going to ask for hands. We may be asking God this question as well. Lord, are you for me or are you for my enemy? And the Lord will say, no. The Lord Jesus is a strong warrior who makes sure that God's justice and glory and dominion take place in people's lives. Now, as long as you are moving in God's will and for his people and purpose, he is your shield and defender. When you are out of his will and you go against his purposes and his will and his people, he will fight against you because he is their shield and defender as well as yours. Abraham Lincoln probably said it best. Somebody asked Abraham Lincoln if he thought the Lord was on his side in the Civil War struggle, and he replied, "My concern is not so much whether God is on my side, but whether I'm on the Lord's side." That's why the commander of the Lord's army said no to Joshua. And by the way, the commander of the Lord's army here is Jesus. This is Jesus that Joshua is talking to. It's a Christophany, an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. And Joshua, he gets the message very quickly, and maybe we should too. We need to be on the Lord's side in terms of his purpose in this world. And Joshua is told to take his shoes off. This is holy ground. That's what he does. This is a place and time of worship. So Joshua worships the Lord on the spot. Now, the lesson for some of us may be that we have just come through our Jordan experience. That is, we've had some kind of covenant with God about our life, and there's something that in our lives at this moment, and maybe God's moving in our lives. Maybe there's someone here who is sort of just coming out of a wilderness experience, a wilderness period in your life. And it seems things of promise might be close at hand. This can be a spiritual experience, but sometimes it can just be things that are happening in the real practical world in which we live. I see more and more of the real substance in life happens in the spiritual realm, but all spiritual matters seem to show up in the real nitty-gritty of life, in the present, in the practical stuff of our lives. So there may be some of us here who are experiencing a new spiritual beginning or change in life, but it shows up in the real world as well. Now, this is a place of worship. So I need to say this to anyone here. And you might have a big obstacle in your life right now. Or you might have a hostile experience going on in terms of conflict with someone at this time in your life. You might have a closed-off place between you and the future. So I'm going to suggest to you that if you have one of these things, that you take your shoes off. And you do it right now. Because I want to say this is holy ground here today. If God is present here, this is holy ground. if you want to hear the message you need, take your shoes off. And I'm not just talking spiritual here. I'm talking really. Take your shoes off. Now, those of you who do this, I want to pray for this. Lord, I ask that you would speak to anybody here who is in conflict or has an obstacle in their life. And if I'm the one that's supposed to put a name to that obstacle, I ask that you guide this message and that this would be holy ground in Jesus' name. Amen. So Joshua takes his shoes off and he worships right there before the Lord. And it is out of that time of worship that the Lord tells him what to do. That's what happens to us as well. Sometimes we need to get in a place of worship in order to receive the revelation that God really wants to give us. And there's a powerful message in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6, which we read just a few minutes ago with the ones in chapter 5, but I want to read them again. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is a physical picture of a spiritual truth. Here we go. Now, Jericho was shut up from within and from without because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given into your hand Jericho with its king and mighty men of valor." Now, there's a paradox here, and I want you to see the paradox. Now, a paradox is two truths that can't be true at the same time, and yet they are. I see a paradox. It says that Jericho was shut up from within and from without, and yet the Lord says to Joshua, he who says, "Perceive the truth, look at the spiritual nature of this battle. I have given into your hand Jericho." Now, that's a paradox. Joshua is standing there, and the walls of the city are out in front, a formidable armed stronghold of resistance. And the Lord says, "See that locked city, that place of resistance, that obstacle out there, the walls of that obstacle? It's yours already." Now, there's a powerful message here. It's a physical picture of a spiritual truth. If the people of Jericho weren't afraid of being conquered, they would have never closed the gates. The very resistance in a defensive stance is a sign of a destined defeat. When you see an obstacle is closed up before you, I've given it to you already. Now, Joshua was up against that walls of a major obstacle in the life of the people and his life. If the people of Israel were going to break out into the promised land, their future, they had to not only get past the obstacle of Jericho, they had to get rid of it as well. The place God had promised to them, their future, could not be conquered until they removed that obstacle of this armed, closed city. Now, those of you who have your shoes off, you're the ones looking for the truth here. You're the ones who really want to worship, and I want you to think about your Jericho subjectively. What do you call it? Your problem. Your obstacle. The walls that stand between you and say the conquest of your future, your walled city. There's bound to be a number of us, I guarantee you, with this many people, there are a number of us, and you're sitting here today, and you have a walled obstacle that stands between you and your future, that place and time where you want to get to. You can't climb over it. You can't go around it, because it will be always at your back harassing you if you don't take care of it. And it seems unconquerable from where you worship today as you stand on holy ground. Now, it can be anything. It can be a broken relationship with your spouse or a child or a parent. It could be a health problem. It could be a loss of a loved one through death. It towers above you and in front of you, and it blocks you, you might say. You stand in its shadow. It keeps you from moving on. It looks unbeatable. It scares you. Even though you may have come through a new time and a covenant with God, and God may have worked in your life before, it stands there and you're up against it. It could be financial. It could be a job situation or lack of a job situation. It could be social or emotional. It could be a problem in your home. It could be your marriage. It could be a lack of marriage. It could be a burden that is placed upon you that is a threat to what you know is real living. Walls come in all sizes, different shapes, and different labels. And no matter how you describe it or what it is, you stand here today and you're trying to figure out how are you going to resolve this. And in many ways, it's much like Joshua standing out in front of Jericho, wondering how he's going to deal with this obstacle that's in the life of his people and his life. And Jericho was shut up. How descriptive of our life situations. Closed off possibilities. Something that blockades and stands between what you see down the line and where you are right now. And the scripture in life speak of closed doors of opportunity. And I'm going to tell you what, it's not just closed doors of opportunity. It's shut up hearts and shut up minds and shut up people. It could be shut wombs where there is no birth, shut cities, closed off communications, shut mouths, closed minds, closed ears and eyes, and people who are blind and deaf and stand between life and death in many ways in this life. So let me ask you, what's shut up to you personally? What is like a big city standing in front of you that needs to be conquered or removed and broken through? It's a time of worship that Joshua has given the message. You have already conquered it. Then God gives Joshua the strategy for dealing with Jericho, and it certainly isn't a strategy that we would normally employ in the way that we think. In terms of overcoming obstacles of this world, it just sounds downright silly. So let's read together the revelation, the way, truth, God's strategy for removing an obstacle that is closed up and will not go away. And Jericho was such an obstacle, and it was a physical obstacle, but to remove the physical obstacle requires a spiritual answer. Now, we're dealing with things of a spiritual nature even in our lives. It may look physical, but it's a spiritual problem. We are dealing in the spiritual realm with physical obstacles. In a spirit of worship, the Lord spoke to Joshua. Read with me verses 3 to 5. Here we go. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, the priests blowing the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go, every man straight before him. Now, these verses tell us what they needed to do and what God would work. But you got to think about this. Put this in terms of your life or something. This was given to Joshua before anything had happened. This is before we knew about it. This is the vision, the prophecy of the future right here. Now, he could have done anything. He could have just sat on it and said, okay, thanks, Lord. It seems silly and stupid. Besides, who's going to listen to such a stupid thing? If I go talk to people about this. Well, the revelations for some of you today may seem just as silly when it comes to dealing with your obstacle. What are you going to do with it? You going to sit on it? Joshua doesn't sit on it and, you know, not say anything to anybody. This is what he does, continuing at verse 6. Let's read verses 6 and 7. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. Now, you got to think about this just a little. Notice the priests, the men of war, and the people could have said to Joshua, what? You got to be kidding me. This is silly. We're not going to do this. But they didn't. They did what they were told to do. They followed the spiritual direction of their leader, and they were obedient. They were in unity. Read with me verses 8 to 10. And as Joshua had commanded, the people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord, went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. And the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets. And the rear guard came after the Ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, you should not shout or let your voice be heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then you shall shout. So the people, the warriors, the priests, did as Joshua said. For 6 days they do this. For 6 days they would march around that city, blowing their trumpets continuously. They would march around and they were told to keep their mouths shut. They weren't to talk about it at all, about it, or shout or until told to. Now, you need to put this into real connotation rather than in church thinking and, you know, in stained glass. Think about this. I want to translate this picture into your life situations. In order to remove the obstacles in your life, you need to listen to your spiritual leader. And that's Jesus, by the way. The name Joshua literally is the Hebrew name Jesus. Listen to him and do what he tells you. He speaks through spiritual direction, sometimes from the pulpit, sometimes in prayer, sometimes through friends or through scripture, and it may sound silly, but do what he tells you. And you need to get a unity in your own spirit to be obedient. If you're double-minded and you vacillate back and forth between what he tells you and what you tell yourself or the world tells you, you're never going to get past it. Now, the strategy here is to marshal the troops, the warriors in the world. For us, that's the tools of war that God gives to us that we have at our disposal. Put them out in front and in the rear, so the spiritual nature of the physical experience that you're having or this physical problem. The strategy also is to marshal the priests here, the spiritual warriors that we have. Now, spiritual warriors, they can be people around us, but they can also be prayer and scripture. I'm here to tell you, the world will just tell you anything. That's why you go to prayer and scripture. They then set the spiritual warriors, the people around you, prayer, scripture, in front of the place where God abides in us, which is our soul and our will. And through prayer and scripture and spiritual friends, you begin to proclaim a clear signal to that obstacle in your life. I don't know what it is, but you proclaim the presence of God through your priests with trumpets. I know a lot of people, when they come up against obstacles in their lives, just begin to want to shout at those obstacles. They yell, they rage at that which blocks them, they scream with frustration, all of which cuts them off from their future and where they want to be. And God tells Joshua to tell the people, you keep your mouth shut until you're told to open it. And a lesson for the one who worships today, you walk around that obstacle. You keep your mouth shut. You walk around it day in and day out until he tells you to stop. And you walk around. You learn it. You keep it always beside you. You proclaim God's victory to it. You give a clear signal like a trumpet sound of God's presence in his people. And you keep your mouth shut and you don't shout at that obstacle. You don't talk about that obstacle. You don't say anything. You just keep walking around it. You give a clear signal that you're God's person. And through the spiritual friends, through prayer and scripture, you keep proclaiming that. One of the things we will do is not only shout, we'll yell and scream at the obstacle in our lives out of frustration, but we will talk about them as well. And we'll be negative in our speech about things, and we'll whine and moan instead inside, and we will doubt, and we will speak words of doubt. And there's an important principle here: keep your mouth shut. Silence is powerful at times. Besides, we don't conquer by our mouths anyway. Some of us need to be quiet and give our faith a chance to catch up to our mouth. Some of us need to stop talking and shouting or screaming so quickly and get quiet in prayer and reading scripture and listening to spiritual friends with wisdom. Some of us need to walk around that obstacle a few times just to see what it really is to begin with. You notice in this story, Joshua is the only one who knew how many days and times to walk around Jericho before the day of shouting would come. And the truth is, when it comes to that obstacle that stands in your life between you and the future, it is only really Jesus who shall be called, we'll call him by his Hebrew name. Let's call him Joshua. Who knows how long we'll have to circle that obstacle? So be in unity with Jesus and do what you're told. Marshal the tools of war that you have in this world, the spiritual aids to proclaim God's presence. March around that obstacle every day until that day comes when God will remove it. And make sure God's presence is in your soul and is in the center of your actions and your daily walk. The number seven is very significant in this story as well, because the number seven is the number of God's fulfillment or completion. It's a number that represents the conclusion of God's work. And there were to be seven priests, seven trumpets, 7 days. On the seventh day, they will walk around the city 7 times at the end of the seventh trip around. On the seventh day, the seven trumpets were to be blown and they were to shout. And when they did, the walls collapsed. God worked the miracle of removal. Read with me verses 6, 15, 16, and 20. Here we go. On the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people raised a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. What's the word of God to any who worship today, who see an obstacle between them and their future? Anybody here? What's the word to anyone here today? How do you respond after you remove your shoes? When the time comes, the time of fulfillment, God's time, the opportune time, then Jesus will tell you what to speak to that obstacle that stands between you and your future. That obstacle that is shut up, both from the outside and the inside, Jesus will tell you what to speak to it. In fact, the words that he may tell you to speak are the very words he gave to the prophet Zechariah in chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Let's read those. "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel: not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forward the top stone and shouts of grace, grace to it.'" Those might be the words, grace grace to it. God's strategy for removing obstacles is very different from the ways that we do in this world. Only those who trust Him will use His strategies. What obstacle do you need to take? What walls needs to be broken down in your life? You ask the Lord to come and be with you, and He will walk with you during your times of obstacles and you're removing them. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to anyone here who might have an obstacle in their life right now. They don't know what to do with it. That you would show them through worship their strategy. Your strategy. In Jesus' name. Amen.